Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
I want to kind of review last week some, so that we kind of had to hurry there at the end to get through some things, because I think what's here is going to deal with what's today we're going to look at. But we talked about how we have to deal with our past. And Paul said, you know what, when I was a child, I put the past behind me. I think sometimes that's just a very hard thing to do. And so I have to be willing to look back over my past and see what was there. I need to rearrange it. You see, I don't have clear perspective all the time. And neither do you, by the way, just so you know. And sometimes I think it's this way, but then you begin to see there's another way to deal with it. And when I do counseling or when I've talked to people, I said, look, you can handle this one or two ways. You can spend a lot of time going back into your past, trying to figure out why you are like you are, and then come up with a plan. Or you can just come up with a plan now and understand you are like you are. Let's just go on. Yes. Okay? So both have validity sometimes. So I have to be willing to resolve the things that happened in my past. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. But then I need to relay my past. And we talk kind of quickly about the necessity of trying to keep secrets becomes a real problem when you're dealing with your past. Because I can't tell you how many people talk to me and say, you know what, I was raised this way, but when I found out that this is what happened to my dad or to my mom, and when that was explained to me, I suddenly understood why they are like they are. But yet they never knew what was going on. It suddenly gave them a different perspective. And sometimes we adults, because of embarrassment, a whole host of reasons, don't relay our past to our kids. And then they wonder, what in the world made you like this? Right? And it becomes a big issue. And I use the illustration just quickly. I think this is, as you read all the things going on about our military veterans and honoring them and everything and how they're getting older and yet things are going on, how many of them will not talk about what happened to them while they were in the military? And yet if they would just share that with their family for a bit, it would explain a whole lot of things. It would bring understanding. It would bring clarity. It would bring compassion. But instead, no, I got to talk about it. You ever notice that usually the things you don't want to talk about are the things you probably should talk about? Okay, I'll go on. Relay your past. Be willing to relay that. You know, there's a history there. There's understanding there. And then I need to release it. I need to let it go. That leads us into number 9 today. I need to be willing to forgive and restore. Now, I'm going to be dancing around things, and yet I'll get into anything you want to get into, because I'm going to be dealing with forgiveness. I have been last week, this week, next week, and the week to follow. We're going to deal with next week forgiving others, and then the week after that, we're going to talk about is it ever right to be judgmental? And so, it's all this forgiveness area. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you. But the answer probably isn't what you think. So I have to be willing to forgive and restore. Romans 12:15. When others are happy, be happy with them. If they're sad, share their sorrow. Now, you see, what we do is, oh, they're sad. Stay away from them. I don't want them to bring me down. Anyway, live in harmony with each other. Don't try to act important. Enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Well, that's a struggle right there, isn't it? I got to enjoy the company of ordinary people, who are pretty weird people, by the way. And don't think I know it all. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honorable. Now notice, don't miss this. Do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. Well, what about them if they... Hold it. Do your part. All right? Yeah, I can feel the air being sucked out of the room right now. Romans 13:8. Pay all your debts, except the debt of love for others. You can never finish paying that. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill all the requirements of God's law. You will never be able to repay the debt of love. All right. Let's start. Relationships matter. When you think about it, everything in the Bible points towards how well we get along with God and with others. In fact, the core of Christianity, the core of how well I'm doing in life, has to do with my ability to get along with other people. And if I can't get along with others, I am not being the person God wants me to be. Now, well, Pastor, I can get along with some people. I can get along with a few people. Now, we just read here, enjoy the company of ordinary people. That pretty much is all of us, right? So I have to understand that to God, the way I love Him is demonstrated by the way I love others. And you can have all these other doctrinal issues you want. You can say they're all critical and you can talk about all the things going on there, but the heart of the gospel is, how well do I get along with other people? Because my Christianity, according to what I read in the Bible, is gauged by how well I handle my relationships. Relationships matter. Well, I wish I could read minds right now. You see, that's where we struggle because by nature, we are not good at getting along with other people. By nature, other people tick us off. By nature, most people are idiots. Or let's use the Christian term, they're a little weird. You know? By nature, I don't like being around them. By nature, I want to be by myself or just a few people. By nature, we are not good at getting along with ordinary people. Can we agree to that? Anybody want to challenge that? Okay. We like our space. We want it our way. And we don't want anybody to rock our boat. And yet all of Christianity is centered on the fact of, and let me put it to you this way, I get along with everybody. In fact, look at verse 18 of Romans 12 that we already read. Do your part to live in peace with a few.
Try again.
Well, I'll live in peace with them. I just won't be around them. I'll just stay away from them. No. That's not what the Bible talks about. You see, if God is going to use me, and if you notice at the top of your page, the 12 steps so that I can reach my ability for God to do, God wants to use me with people He chooses, not people I choose.
That's right.
And in order for God to use me, God cares about people. Correct? So that when I want to be by myself, I am robbing God of using me to minister to others. I am telling God, I've got this little fence built in around my life, and I'm comfortable here, and I'll just allow you to minister, for me to minister to these people. Now, we've said it before, and I'll just say, how many of you understand God doesn't like taking orders from you? And he usually doesn't listen to you. So sometimes, many of our problems are created because we're trying to be exclusive, and God wants us to be inclusive. We're trying to minimize our contacts. God's trying to get us to get along with everybody. And we don't like that. We're uncomfortable with that. We don't agree with it. Right? We okay? Questions? Yes. Right. Right. And many times, God can't help us because we won't let him. Because we won't let him use who he chooses, not who we choose. So I have to, let me just kind of, because I'm starting to bump into it. I have to do what God requires. Now, according to Scripture, and I'm going to talk, and I'm trying not to bump into everything I'm going to say next week, you're probably going to hear it several times, so I'm just going to kind of do this. You see, God says, here's what he requires. When somebody else is happy, I want you to be happy with them. When someone else is sad, I want you to share their sorrow. Now, you can't be happy with somebody and share the sorrow with somebody unless you're with them, can you? You know, I want you to live in harmony with people. You see, just you needing to get along with other people would change you a lot. It would be good for you not to get your way. Boy, this is feeling a little, don't act important. In other words, don't just think you can only associate with such and such a people. You enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. No one likes to be around a know-it-all. They don't. You know, live in harmony with each other. Never pay back evil. Oh, brother. Never? Never. You know, do things in such a way that everybody will look at you and say, there goes a good person. Live in peace with everyone. Now, that would kind of be a challenge, wouldn't it? But yet, that's what God requires of us. Understanding I'll never be able to pay the debt of love. How long do I have to keep loving people? Well, until you've paid it. When will that be? Never. And so I have to come to that place where I understand that to God, relationships matter. In fact, could we say that under salvation, my ability to get along with other people and the way I relate to people is number two. That it's played out, how salvation played out. It's played out by the way I relate to others. What does God require? Love God with all your heart, soul, and spirit. What's the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's all the two commandments. And so what we wrestle with is this issue of getting along with people. Now, let me just ask you a question. Go back in your history, and for some that might be a long, long trip. It's getting longer. When you think of church, I would almost say that when most people think of that subject, they think about people who can't get along. Don't raise your hands. Anybody ever had an experience in church where people didn't get along? Yeah. You know? But yes, it includes your spouse, even though I didn't say home where you can't get along, but anyway. But you see, let me go down that trail for just a moment. You get married. Why do you have trouble getting along with somebody else? Because you want your way. Right? I mean, live at peace with everybody. When there's just two of us, that's hard. You know, there's struggles. Now you put that into the family of God, and unfortunately, church is known more for its problems of people not getting along than it is for its love for each other. And yet the Bible says the world will know we're Christians by the way we advertise, by the way we go door to door, by the way we talk, by the way we dress, by the way we love one another. So church is that place where we love everybody, even the ordinary people, which we are, and we live at peace with everybody. Yeah, good. And then you got to know Joe and some other people, and it was all over, wasn't it? Right. Yep. Right. Right. I think what we wrestle with, and I'm, oh boy, it's one of those things I'm going to wrestle with how to say it. My church family is just as important as my natural family. Because my church family is a part of, my natural family is a part of the church family. And right, unfortunately, if you've got a natural family that can't get along, you bring that into church. And so what we have to understand is this is a family, and we are called to demonstrate Christ to the world by the way we get along. Now, in order for that to happen, I don't get to have my way. You know, when I got married almost 40 years ago, I learned after a while, I don't get to have my way. Ever. And see, we want our way, don't we? We want to have it our way. All the advertisers understand that. Have it your way. You can get what you want. We can customize this for you. We'll change this for you. You can have this. You can have this. You can do this. You be your own person. You be special. You do what you want to do. And yet you come to the church and none of that. Right? Mm-hmm. It takes a strong Christian and a strong person to get along with people. It's the immature people who can't get along. You want to know how mature someone is? Look at how they get along with people. If they can't get along with people, they're a very immature person and a very immature Christian. Okay? Somebody else have their hand up?
I
My tongue's bleeding. I'm waiting. Okay. Well, I understand some of what you're saying. I don't agree with any of it, but I understand it. Okay. The problem is this. Women have this mouth. That, you're right. Men don't, and men withdraw. And that isn't healthy. But women pursue. Okay? And if you will look over the... boy, I wish Otis was here today. If you will look over the course of church problems, you will find the majority of them are because of women. Yes. They're the... I can just... And well, I can... Right? I mean, Dad? Now remember, I'm your favorite son. Well, and how you handle this will determine the future. You know, you could have answered my question with a yes or a no. Instead of trying to weasel your way out of this. Okay. Because men are willing to...
Scripture, it says she desired the place of man. She wanted to be the head. Okay? She wanted to supplant. This on? Turn it off, man. Which goes back to that desire to nurture. Women want to fix, and in fixing sometimes make things more complicated, and when it won't be fixed the way they think it should, it just just creates more issues. So, recognize the part you played, okay? Let's not look at this between men and women. Let's just look at this. What part did you play? So, in other words, when there's a relationship problem, what I have to do is, this is what I did. Now, the challenge is that so many times when we have a problem in a relationship, we're always looking at what they did. We focus on, they did this. They said that. They did this. And when you start doing that, you're creating problems for yourself. Okay? Because in reality, it doesn't matter what they did. The question is, what are you going to do? You know, as far as it's possible with you, what are you going to do? And when you try to explain everything, usually it sounds like you're making an excuse. What's an excuse? I'm going to blame you and prove my innocence. Well, I want to do this and this, and they did that and that, and so I did. You're making an excuse. You can't place blame. You deal with your part, not theirs. You deal with what you did, what you said. And the more you try and explain it, the more guilty you sound. You know, the more you talk, the more you, well, it's this and this and this and this and then this happened and then that happened and this took place and that took place and everything. But for long you say, boy, they're as guilty as can be. Because it sounds like you're just making one excuse after the next. And so you have to come to that place where you're willing to focus on you. What did I do? What was the part I played? Now, please hear me. Seldom, if ever, are you 100% innocent. Okay? Seldom, if ever, are you 100% innocent. Well, I only play 2%. Then you take responsibility for that. Well, what's, you know, what are they going to do? Doesn't matter. Not the issue. You're going to get along with them. You're going to be okay. You're not going to make it an issue. I'm going to go on. Rely.
Must be God telling me to shut up. Well, that's off. Let's try this again. Testing 1, 2. There it is. Okay. I need to rely on the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit telling me to do? Now, here's the thing. When I've got issues in a relationship, I need to understand what they are. I'm not going to see anything clear until I deal with my issues. Then once I deal with my issues, well, we got to go fix that. Now, in a relationship, usually, if you're married, there's going to be one of you that's going to be a little slow and one of you that's going to be a little fast. You need to go make that right. You need to go do that right now. You and I need to be very sensitive to timing. When is the right time? You don't want to let it fester forever, but that doesn't mean you have to deal with it immediately. What's the timing of it? I find that if, okay, God, I'm taking my part. Now you create an opportunity for me to deal with this. And if I'll do that, God usually creates an opportunity. Okay? Rather than me trying to force something. Now, when you go and when you deal with that and when you listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you are going to seek restoration. Well, they did that to me, and I'll tell you what, I'll never let that happen again. I'll make sure, well, I'll forgive them, but I'm never going to talk to them again. Then you haven't forgiven. Okay? You want to seek restoration. Now, please understand something. There is a difference between making amends and making an apology. All right? You can apologize for being late to work, but until your behavior is corrected, amends can't be made. Well, I'm sorry. Well, but then the next day, well, I'm sorry. You can apologize all you want, but there has to be, there's a difference between apology and amends. See, when we say I'm sorry, we need to say, well, I'm sorry, I'll make it up to you. That's how we'd say it sometimes. And most people won't forgive you until you make amends. You can say you're sorry all you want to them, but until they see a change of behavior, you haven't gone far enough. Well, I apologize. That's all I need to do. No, it's not. That's just the start. As far as is possible with you, get along with everybody. Live at peace with everyone. Oh. You see, I have a double standard that I live by, that I think we're all called to live by. And that is this. If there's a different problem between me and somebody, I'm going to do everything I can to apologize and make amends. I'm going to do everything I can to get along with them. I'm going to go the extra mile, do what needs to be done. Sometimes it works out fine. Sometimes they don't accept it, but at least I've done my part. All right? I'll do that. But as far as a concern, when somebody does something to me, all I need is an apology. And I don't even need that. Because whether you apologize to me or not doesn't change my responsibility to get along with you. Doesn't change my responsibility. Well, but what if they take advantage of you? So, they will. Big deal. Didn't they take advantage of Christ? And we're so protective of ourselves to prevent us from getting hurt. Let me go on to the next one because I'm there. Have realistic expectations. Relationships are difficult and fragile. And you got to lower your expectations. Because here's the deal. We, especially in America, were way too easily offended. As a Christian, you should not be easily offended. Well, you hurt my feelings. Get over it. You shouldn't be so sensitive. Well, they did that to me and I'm never going to talk to them again. That's real godly. That's Christ-like. You have a right to do that. Well, I just don't like the way they treat me. So? It is easier said than done, but this, here's what we call that. Christianity. It's called being a Christian, and if you don't do it, you're immature. And you're going to try to protect yourself, which will never work. And God calls us to live this life that says, you know what, I'm going to use you to reach out to people. And that means you've got to stay connected to people because people won't let you minister to them in most cases until they know you. And so you spend your time getting along with everybody. And if something happens, get over it fast. And don't you be easily offended because something happened. Well, they said this and I just don't agree. Okay, there it is. So what I have to understand is, you know what? Relationships are very hard. That's why the Bible says, don't go to bed while you're angry. You know, it's why in the marriage issues, you've got to be able to be pretty tough. Because you know what? You're not always going to agree, but you still go on. And you don't just exist because, well, that happened, this happened, I'll never forgive them for it. That's not Christian. So God says, look, I want to keep you connected to people. That means you're going to have to be a person, as a Christian, who gets very good at forgiving. Because you're going to be forgiving a lot. And you need to watch your expectations. Well, I just never thought they'd act like that. Why? They're human. We're sinners. Never surprised when somebody acts like a sinner. Are we? Shouldn't be. Oh, I just never saw them. Really? Well, I expected them to treat me better. Get over yourself. Because you see, I am called to live a life that honors God. And that means I've got to love my neighbor as myself. And I forgive myself all the time. Yeah. Relationships are really, really hard. You have to work at them. That's why we don't do it. The other reason we don't do it is I want my way, and I don't. If you get in my way of getting my way, then you're going to get over the highway, and I don't want to listen. You know, we're just so quickly and easily ready to do that. And then finally, my responsibility is greater to a believer. In other words, I have a greater responsibility to get along with you than I do people in the world. Okay? There is a difference. 1 John 4:19. We love each other as a result of His loving us first. Why do I love people? Because God loved me. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person's a liar. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? For if we don't love the people we can see, how can we love God whom we've not seen? And God Himself has commanded that we must love not only Him, but our Christian brothers and sisters too. Philippians 2:1. Is there an encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from His love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and sympathetic? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one heart and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs. Be interested in others too and what they're doing. And if I continued that, this is the part where, and be let your attitude be the same as Christ Jesus had, who humbled Himself to the cross. You cannot get away from the bluntness of what the Bible teaches us about our relationships with other people. You just can't get away from it. And if I'm going to be a person God uses, then I have to be willing to come to that place where I am willing to forgive and restore. I work through things. What we do is this. Come to church. Well, I don't like what was said, and I don't like the way somebody's treating me, and somebody said this about me, and somebody said this, and I just don't like that. I'm going to go someplace else. Now, that happens. Now, what happens is this. We never grow up because we run from our problems, and we never sit there and resolve them and fix them. You see, the relationship is more important than me being right. The relationship matters. And I have to live.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.